Okay, I'm with Stephen Bannon, filmmaker of The Undefeated. Stephen, what prompted you to make the movie?
Well, I was approached by the PAC, Governor Palin's PAC, right after the 2010 elections in November. I'd actually screened, my previous film was called Fire from the Heartland, and it starred Michelle Bachmann. There was a story about Congressman Bachmann and the women of the Tea Party movement. The rise of the Tea Party is sent to the eyes of the women that were, you know, many of whom were some of the leaders of it. And I screened that movie for a group called Conservatives for Palin. Right after a week after the November elections, and then their PAC, a woman named Rebecca Mansour, and a guy named Tim Crawford, reached out to me like a week later, and wanted to know if I'd be interested in doing a couple of vignettes, like short YouTube videos or things that we posted on YouTube of the. Relating to Governor Palin's time as governor, her tax policy and things like that. And I don't work for PACs, and I don't do YouTubes, and I don't do political commercials. But I had an idea, concept of a film, really a feature-length film, that could be done about her time as governor, and really her rise from obscurity to position of leadership in the country. And so my partners, my producing partner, Glenn Evans, who you'll meet this week, and the guys at Victory, the company and our company, we talked and we came back to them and said, look, we'll put up all the money, we'll take all the risk, but we have all the economics. You know, we don't want any creative input, control, whatever. All you have to do is give us access to these, we need to meet these civil servants that were up in Alaska and some politicians that were there during your governorship. And if you can do that, make those introductions, we'll go off and make a film, and you know, we'll talk to you when we get a finished product. And so, I think it was 4 weeks ago in Phoenix. I think it was the week of like May 22nd or 23rd or something like that. We actually showed her the rough cut, essentially the rough of the film that you'll see on Tuesday night. Which, you know, we've changed very little. It just, you know, went, got, you know, closed, make sure we get footage, et cetera, et cetera. But she saw basically the film you're going to see Tuesday night in Phoenix, and that's kind of what the process has been.
Okay, and she had a good reaction regarding the film? She liked it?
Well, she told on Fox News, if you go look at that, she told Greta Van Susteren. Greta interviewed her on her bus a couple of days later and asked her about the film, and she said it blew her away. I mean, that was her quote. She was, you know, the entire time I made the film, I actually talked to Governor Palin for about 1 minute. I met her one time and just shook her hand and said, you know, thanks, we're really glad we're doing the picture and look forward to showing you the finished product. And so, I mean, she was not interviewed for the film. In fact, I've told people that if a condition had been to interview her, I probably wouldn't have done it. I had a certain way I wanted to do this film. I didn't want to actually have her looking in retrospect. I wanted to put you people in actually the whirlwind that was Governor Palin's rise to prominence. And so the first time we really spent any time with her was when she saw the film in Phoenix, and literally the conversation there was 5 or 10 minutes. I think she liked it. What she appreciated most is that there is, the film's 2 hours long, and she said, what I like about this film, or what I love about this film, there's no fluff. there's no, you know, happy clapping moments about the family or anything like that. This is a pretty hardcore movie about politics, power, good versus evil, that sort of thing.
Okay. Get into any of her policy positions regarding energy?
Absolutely. So the core of the movie, the reason I wanted to make the film is that there were two, you know, I had observed her making Fire from the Heartland. I made two films, Generation Zero, which is the film that Fox, you know, Sean Hannity had an hour special on. That was about the collapse of the financial collapse in the beginning of the Tea Party, but really talked about the financial collapse of the country. And then Fire from the Heartland really talked about the rise of this Tea Party movement through the eyes of the women. I had observed Governor Palin for probably a year and a half at a distance, you know, filming her and seeing her at these rallies. I saw somebody that had not just charisma, but there seemed to be something about her, something of substance. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing the research, and really the first book I really drilled down on, besides, you know, going to doing all the internet searches, was a book called Sarah from Alaska, mm-hmm. which was written by a guy named Scott Conroy, who was a CBS reporter mm-hmm. at the time, and a woman named Shoshana Walsh, who's a columnist for the Daily Beast. And what struck me is that these people were not only not ideologues, mm-hmm. I mean, they work for two organizations or two institutions that are not house organs for, you know, the Palinistas. And the book was incredibly gripping about her time as, you know, her time in Wasilla, and her time, her rise, her fight against the Republican establishment and corruption in Alaska, and really mm-hmm. taking on big oil. Mm-hmm. And so I just found it fascinating. I went back and then really drilled down on Going Rogue, which struck me that I think the book sold 5 million copies.
Yeah.
And I think people jump into the book like they do with the Governor Palin's story. They come into it at the Republican convention. And it's really the backstory that is, I think, the most fascinating. And so that's what, with that kind of, you know, building blocks, I said that the power of this will be that here's a woman that's one of the most media-saturated people in the world, really a McLuhan-esque figure that is really drenched or saturated in modern electronic media, but that nobody really knows her. Her story is kind of hiding in plain sight mm-hmm. and has really never been told. And I told my partners, I said, look, I think if we do this right, it's a story that really, you know, transcends politics. It's about the average American and what you have to do to make your way in the modern world and really have impact. And one of the things that we found very rewarding in this is that Hollywood, you know, AMC Theaters, Cinedigm, you know, AMC is the second or third biggest theater chain. Mm-hmm. Cinedigm is the largest digital distribution company, and Arc Entertainment. These are not conservative institutions. These are Hollywood capitalists, mm-hmm. and certainly probably center left, but they see the value of this as a story that really all Americans would, you know, potentially would want to see, because it's really not about politics at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So what was your favorite aspect of filming the movie?
The one thing that I found fascinating was just Alaska. Alaska is a major character here. Like, you know, I don't want to sound presumptuous, but like John Ford makes Monument Valley, you know, the West, or Monument Valley, is actually a character in his films. Alaska is a major character in this. It's vastness, its wildness, its frontier aspects, the enormous amounts of resources that are there, the high-stakes poker that is Alaska politics, how important it is for the nation, right? Its energy resources, its natural resources, timber and fisheries. It's a character here. So one was really, I had never spent any time in Alaska, was just seeing, and really, it's Alaska is kind of a throwback to 19th century America to a large extent. It is the, really the last frontier, and it's a mm-hmm. place where the frontier and a frontier mentality to a degree still manifests itself. And I thought that was very rewarding just for me personally to kind of, you know, experience that. The thing about making the film, which struck me, was that Governor Palin had really never, I can understand why her PAC reached out to make these little videos. She has really never talked about her time as governor that much. It was really, I found out a lot in, like, for instance, her convention speech, which now is over 1 hour into the movie, do you get to the convention speech. But you realize in the convention speech, she's really talking about herself as a reformer. She's talking about herself against the establishment. Mm-hmm. She's talking about herself as an agent of change. I went to Harvard Business School, and I worked on Wall Street for many years. And the one thing they try to teach you there is how you really change culture, how you affect change in organizations, how you can really, you know, how you create a Google, how you create a Facebook, how you really have to do things that are very difficult to do to get a lot of people lined up to do it. And I was amazed in watching this. It's very much a Harvard Business School case study. Act two of this film is over 40 minutes long, and it's really about her governorship. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing the sophistication she used to really get her policy, her vision for the, you know, for what the people's value, you know, their ownership and the value creation of these resources was very sophisticated. And it's, I found that amazing. And simply the fact that, you know, she doesn't really talk about it very much. She really mm-hmm. never has gone out and beat the drums about that. And I think a lot of that's because, and that's what we call it, the undefeated. It's really about these basic core American values. One is that she's, you know, I think she's raised in a family, like most people, but that will come from the working class and middle class America, is that you're taught not to really brag about yourself. You're taught not to be self-promotional. And I think that she's an extremely, extremely modest person. Mm-hmm. And people go, well, hey, she's got reality shows, she's got all this. But if you notice, she very, very rarely talks about herself.
So she's
I noticed that just looking at the footage. It was really a big insight for us that she's, I think, an extremely humble and extremely modest person.
Oh, which certainly, how you're painting her, it certainly goes against the perception of what you see in some of the liberal, at least mainstream media, that she's a diva, that she's attention-seeking. You don't find that at all.
I think you get it. I think that's why the film is comes as a... This film is not... I will tell, you know, people... If you look at people who've seen it in the mainstream media, the Huffington Post gave it a rave review. The you know, Salon and Slate and the Washington Post and ABC and CBS News have been very even-handed, if not generous, the coverage of this film. And number one is, I think this film is not what people are expecting, right?
Okay.
This is not really a... This film does not show a beatdown on the progressive left, some doctrinaire beatdown. It's really... Her career is much more nuanced than that. Her mm-hmm. career is really... She is a true populist, and she's very anti-establishment. She has been an anti-establishment figure since she was on the city council of Missoula. She's very anti-establishment. She's very anti-vested interest. And that shows in constancy to her entire career. And I think that's why people are... I think this movie shocks a lot of people. I've had now the pleasure of screening it for our liberal audiences, screening it for our people that are Palinistas. And many, many of the Palinistas don't really know the story of Governor Palin or quite frankly, you know, quite surprised when I see it.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed is we've shown it to, over the last week since the Right Online, I've shown it to a number of just basic middle-class audiences. Mm-hmm. And there's real anger. And part of the anger is that the anger of people at themselves, and they have bought the mainstream media, just what you mentioned, the divaness. And going back and seeing this woman's record and seeing her, how she's actually been a fighter mm-hmm. on the side of the people for so long, I think people are sitting there going, they're angry at themselves for having, you know, not kind of bought the mainstream media thing. The other thing I think is comes up is that, you know, she is on a nightly basis on the cable networks pummeled by the intelligentsia of the right mm-hmm. as not being up to it, as not being, you know, not quite having the capacity to really govern. And I just think when you see this film, you come away and say, you know, you may not agree with her politics, and you may not like her personally, but you cannot, I think, come away from this film and not think that she is at the same, should be sitting at the same table when you talk about leadership as Chairman Governor Pawlenty and Governor Romney. In fact, I think there's a very powerful case made that if you take the last three presidents of the United States, President Clinton in Arkansas, uh-huh. Governor Bush in Texas, and President Obama, while he was a state senator in Illinois, and in a senator in Washington, the U.S. senator, that her record of accomplishments and achievements as an executive mm-hmm. certainly compares very favorably to, I think, extraordinarily better than those three gentlemen.
Okay, wow.
At their time that they ran for the presidency.
Okay. I want to get into, we have the, it's premiering in Iowa at Pella Opera House on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Why'd you decide to premiere in Iowa?
Well, you know, we're an independent, look, I'm a commercial filmmaker, and we have a theater company that's taking us out nationwide starting July 15th.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting in 10 cities, and we're going to roll out throughout the country from there. We've got streaming video deals, VOD, pay-per-view, we've got all the modern distribution infrastructure is lining up to make deals with us, so this picture is going to be seen all over America. But, you know, we don't have Warner Brothers or Paramount or Sony in Vacuous. I don't have the luxury of $25 million of P&A money, right? Mm-hmm. Or what is called marketing money. I made this film for basically $1 million. And we have distributors going to put, you know, some money in back of it, but I don't have a huge amount of money. So I have to generate what's called earned media. I have mm-hmm. to generate interest in this film. And it was evident to me when I first started making it. You know, I kind of made a bet. And the two bets we made is that, number one, that the American people are fair-minded enough and decent enough that if you present a kind of a radical view of someone that's already been set in their minds, that they're open-minded enough to take that under consideration. And number two is that I made a bet that in June and July of 2011, we would be kind of in the doldrums of the political season before it heated up in the fall of 2011, and I thought that something like this could get a lot of earned media, and quite frankly, that's why I decided to come to Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina.
Okay. Do you hope that she runs for president?
You know, I think that the reason we picked the Pella Opera House is that it's to the values of the undefeated, which is, you know, a lot of people on the left have mocked me a little bit, saying, hey, this guy's supposed to be from Harvard. How can you not know? You know, she's lost some elections. It kind of misses the point. The point is it's her values. It's what she stands for. It's this kind of grit and tenacity, these kind of basic frontier core American values that are truly undefeated, and she certainly hasn't been defeated in that regard. Mm-hmm. And the Pella Opera House, you know, manifests that. And I think that, you know, I'm not an advisor to her. I'm not a campaign consultant. Mm-hmm. You know, I made an independent film about her rise. And I clearly think that I would love to see her as a candidate. I think she would add a tremendous amount, which is very important in this primary for, you know, what I call the battle for the soul of the Republican Party and the conservative movement. Mm-hmm. But even if she's not in it, I think that her spirit and what she represents has to be. I think that little opera house in Pella that's gone through, you know, 112 years of ups and downs epitomizes that. And I think that spirit has to be in this. I think we're in an election cycle very much like 1976, where it's very important for to have kind of the insurgents or populist or Tea Party movement to be fully represented. And I think Governor Palin is a terrific representative of that. But if she's not in, you know, she'll come to that decision herself. And if she's not in, I think that her spirit's got to be in this.
Okay. How do people come to get tickets? I've had a couple of people ask me, hey, can just anybody come to this?
You know, it's a very tiny opera house, and we're showing this to, you know, basically the people in Pella and some other people. But I think if you call the Pella Opera House, they'll give you the email address for ARC, and they're putting together a list of if there's available tickets. I'm really not, the distributor is really running the whole premiere. As the filmmaker, I've turned it over to those guys. I picked the location, but they're going to run it. So if you just call the Pella Opera House, they'll give you an email thing, and you can email people and see if there's any more tickets, or at least get yourself on a list if there's any that come available.
Okay.
It's free, though. This is no admission. It's just it's for the people of Pella.
Okay. I just got one last question. I'm going to turn the...